I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Gavin Emmett, and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. With a little break until the next round of the season in Austria, we thought we'd fulfill your MotoGP fix with our full interview with Jack Miller, who was on great form as he reflected on his unlikely win at Assen.
Jack, have you come down off cloud nine yet after Assen?
Nope. I will tomorrow, I think, in free practice one when we're down the back of the grid where we normally are. It's definitely been a good couple of weeks, you know, just to let it all soak in and chat with the family and everything like that. It's been really good to, you know, just go through sort of talking with my parents and also with other people, you know, with people who we stayed with, or, you know, everyone's sending me messages or giving me calls and stuff like that. It's been really great, you know, and just talking about the old times, you know, when we first moved over and we were roaming around.
It was 5 years ago here in Saxonville, wasn't it?
Yeah, 5 years ago since I made my first Grand Prix debut, did my wild card here because I was riding the German Championship. So, it seems almost, you know, it's almost like you pinch yourself, you know, 5 years ago to nearly the date that we, you know, started in Grand Prix to have a MotoGP win. It's pretty cool.
Took us through Assen, though. Took us through the race itself, because in the first part, it didn't start great, did it? It wasn't, you know, the best start to a race.
It started good because that's what I was aiming to do. You know, as we all know from like past wet races, I've gone out, talk about Silverstone, gone out and blasted it for the first two laps, and then that was about all my race had. So I was really just trying to pace myself, and in the first part, you know, just tick, 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 started going through, and then when the track dried out, I was almost thinking, you know, time to put slicks on. I was at that point, and then it bucketed down again. But when Cal came past me and he was really pushing it, and I didn't really want to push it that hard because I knew it was a long race, and I thought these tyres aren't going to last that long. But obviously he was sort of going for the idea of, you know, if the rain, well, if it starts raining again, I think his tyres, he knew that they were going to be all right because they're that hard. And I just got him behind, and then when it really started bucketing down, I still had plenty of tyres, so I started gaining back up on the group. You know, Danny and I were catching something like 2 seconds a lap, which was really good. And I fell out of my comfort zone because there's an inch of water on the ground everywhere. But apart from that, I mean, felt pretty safe just trying to stay on the bike. And then, yeah, restart. I mean, 12 laps. I thought, you know, I got a good go at it this time. I got eight. You know, I was starting from eighth position and knew I could make a decent jump off the start. Got a good start, and then sort of everyone sort of ran a little bit wide, and I jammed up the inside in between one and two. And then, yeah, just when I was there, I was about fifth, I think, and passed Crutch in the fourth, and then had Petrucci in that in front, and I just passed Petrucci, and then Dovi down, and then Valet down, and then was Mark. And then I had to go through past Mark. And
Nervous moments going past Mark Marquez? Yeah, after Silverstone last year, Silverstone, he reminded us about it.
Yeah, after Silverstone, I mean, after, I've had multiple occasions, you know. I'm really glad at the moment, you know, and he's sort of taken that title off me. Everyone's sort of focusing on him now for being the T-Bone Steak Lord. But, it's been, just when I was passing Mark, you know, even when I passed him, it was quite hairy, you know, because that last fast left before you go on the tight chicane, I reeled him in down the straight. And I rolled in there with like a lot of speed, just setting it up so I could get him in the braking zone, but didn't have to brake too late. And as I got right up behind him, the front end started going. And luckily, in that point, it's a real opening, like corner that opens right up. And as the front end started going, I just started to roll gas back on to lift the weight off it a little bit. Like, I knew I was going to run quite to the inside, but I knew it was either that or crash. So I just got back on the gas, and then I was right up next to him. I said, I just got to go for it now. Just get, put it in front of him. Once I put it in front of him, it was all right. Once I got past him, I knew that was all right. And I knew my pace was pretty strong. Like I said, just tried to stay in 50s for the rest of the race. I knew that was quite a consistent time. I mean, it was nothing stupidly fast, but it wasn't anything too slow as well. It was just comfortable.
Talk us through the last couple of laps, even coming up to the line to win your first MotoGP race. What was going through your mind?
The biggest moment for me was the second last lap coming through onto the back straight. Turn 10? I think it's 10 that opens up onto the back straight. It's coming through there, and the thing's sort of spinning a bit, and I'm going, all I got to do is stay on one more lap, and I got this thing. All I got to do is stay on, because I knew where Mark was from the TVs and that. And I'm just going, do not crash, do not crash, don't be an idiot, don't crash, don't crash, don't crash. And I can't even explain it, because I was just thinking to myself, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Like, it felt like a kid, and then you're like trying to keep your mind on the job at the same time. It's hard to do, but I feel like a little kid, like the morning of Christmas, I think.
And you got to pull out the stand-up wheelie across the line. You practiced those a few times over the years, so.
Yeah, definitely. I've sort of got it down to a perfection now, especially being a kid on a farm. I don't know how many mud guards on dirt bikes my dad had to replace, but it was a lot. definitely. I'm lucky because I'm never really on the camera when I'm doing them, so it's all right. I get plenty of time to practice, and all the hairy ones, you don't really get them on the camera, so it's good.
And talk us through the shoey. What was going on there?
There's a lot of things to do with the shoey. I got these great friends of mine in Australia. They're called the Mad Hueys. If you look them up on Instagram, you'll find them. They got like 250,000 followers.
We'll have a few more after this, then. I've took them a plug.
They just loose units. I met them in Phillip Island last year, and I knew them. I knew them because I'd been in trouble already from my bosses for doing the shoey at a nightclub. So I was in trouble. I got in trouble over it, and then I sort of told them, because some of my friends met them at the Turn 4 at Phillip Island, and they said, the Matt Huey is down here. I was like, you've got to bring him up to the thing. So I'm at Phillip Island, before qualifying, I think it was, or something, and we've got those little offices. I walk into my office, there's four of these Matt Hueys, one's passed out on the ground. I'm already in trouble for being a little bit young and reckless, and I'm looking at them going, this doesn't look good, lock the door. Old mate's passed out here. Next minute, within 5 minutes, this one's naked. Sean's got his naked, got his doodle out, everything, and he's there. Boom, into my leather suit, nearly zipped his old fella in the zipper. I said, these guys are unreal. I sent them a boot down, and they're down there drinking red wine out of the boot and everything like that. That's just where it came from. And, I think it seemed fitting to do it there. I don't know why, I just had to do something stupid. And that's what felt, I just remembered that.
You mentioned the trouble you've been in off the bosses. We won't go into that too much, but there's been criticism coming your way left, right and centre for missing out on Moto2, going straight to MotoGP. A tough first year, of course, last year when you were with the LCR Honda team. So we could tell you were emotional after the race in Parc Fermé. Just what did it mean to you?
It meant everything, not only from the difficult year like last year that we had, but in terms of other things, missing out on the World Championship by 2 points, just for falling off the bike too much, that came into mind. And then also quitting school the start of year 10 and moving to Europe with my parents and my sister. And, one by one, them all leaving. First was my sister, and then my dad had to leave to go to work. And then mum had to go because dad had an accident, being an idiot in a buggy. So she had to go and help him. And then it was me, 16 years old, in Europe. So it's, just many emotions of that sort of thing coming into it. And, just how hard we've all worked, myself and my family and everyone like that to really bring it home was just an amazing, it's just an awesome thing to feel. And I can only dream of feeling it again.
Being the first independent rider to win a race since 2006, 10 years. That nobody's managed to do that. Do you feel you've proved you're not an idiot, that you're not just the jackass?
Yeah, this year we've made some dramatic changes, especially in my lifestyle, Like I said, being left in Europe, 16 years old, just as you're sort of becoming a man, you could say, all the temptations are there and everything like that, and, probably did go a little bit, not over the top, but, you know, just had fun, you know what I mean? And yeah, got a reputation of being somebody who loves a drop or something like that. So, this year we really straightened everything out. Like, I just felt it was time to really mature up, you know? It was over, finished the time of being a kid and really focused on this job, you know, that we've got at hand. And yeah, this year we really worked hard through the preseason till I broke my leg. And then even with the broken leg, you know, four or five days out of hospital, we were back in the gym and continued working and really changed my lifestyle around, really eating clean and doing all the right things that you're supposed to do, that athletes are supposed to do. And it seems to have been paying off, you know, so I got to credit it all to that, you know. And I mean, Aki, for one, has been pushing me for the last 2 years to do that. And this year we've done it and it's really starting to pay off.
How much has Cal helped?
Yeah, as well. I mean, Cal and Lucy have been great. I'm Uncle Jack now, by the way. I just hope you all know that.
That's official.
No, right. No matter what the kid is, I know what it is because I'm the uncle, but none of you guys know, but I'm Uncle Jack. But Cal's been great, especially taking me under his wing. I mean, he's one of the most well-trained, well-prepared guys here in the paddock, as you know, with his cycling and stuff like that. Goes a little bit too far, if I'll be honest. Sometimes he's mental, even when your butt's bleeding from riding the bicycle too much. I just say, no, Cal, I'm not going out today. You can have that one. But he's really taken me under his wing and I got to credit him a lot in terms of doing it. He's really been great for me and Lucy as well. They're just like my older brother and sister. They're great.
What have Honda said to you?
They're happy, you know. They've really, even before the win, they've been really happy with the progress we've made this year.
Because people don't see that, do they, sometimes?
No.
That how, you know, you do have dealings with Nakamoto and Livio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've seen the progression and they saw, you know, the leg injury, it started feeling all right in Argentina. We went really well there, crashed out, being an idiot. And then it was starting to go good in Texas. And then I crashed in the qualifying, just a little electronic issue, and the traction control sort of cut out as I was mid-spin, and it let the bike spin up a lot, and it just sent me to the moon. It was the first high side I ever had on the GP bike, so it was a little bit of a shock to me. But and then re-broke that leg, and Jerez was a nightmare. But then from there on, you know, we had, what was Mugello after that? Mugello or Le Mans? I can't remember. Maybe Le Mans.
Le Mans
was good. Was going really good towards the end, and then I just, you know, crashed at the same point as Mark and Andrea, just the front end, break the same point, everything like that. But what was it, Mugello then? And Mugello was a really good, strong weekend for us. First time we really put in really long motos through the qualifyings and stuff like that, and felt really strong heading into the race, but I got taken out at turn one, which was unfortunate. And then Barcelona, we had our first top 10 finish and we came really strong towards the end of the race, which I was really happy with because it just showed that all the work we'd done in the fitness and stuff like that, it really started to pay off. And then after that, went back to the Isle of Man with Cal and Lucy, and Cal got me climbing the hills around there and whatnot, and went and watched those boys do a bit of riding as well, you know, went and watched the TT, which was an amazing experience for me. And then we all know about Assen was a great weekend, even up till the race. I mean, through the dry sessions and everything, I really felt comfortable there and just seemed to be getting our feeling back towards this part of the season. And I mean, it was a special one, like I've said many times. I mean, we can't be expecting too much like that. We got to keep focusing on what are we doing, you know, crack top 10, eventually work our way to the top five and who knows. But yeah, it was really nice to get that one win under our belt and just boost everyone's confidence in the team, you know, and put a lot more blood back into this project.
What now? Yeah, because in theory you've got a 3-year contract with Honda.
Yeah, I mean, if Ian will put up with me, I think, and the rest of them, I think I'm allowed to stay here for the moment. So no, that's good. I'm really keen, and I love these guys. I feel like I've fed in really well with this crew and with everybody in the team. I think they haven't said they don't like me yet, so I think I'm doing something right.
Maybe not to your face.
Not to my face, yeah. Right. But you've heard stories. I think,
Well, I wanted to.
But yeah, no, they seem to like me really well here. So no, I'm looking forward to it. I really like the position where I'm at and the headspace I'm at. So I'm glad to. Since I've been in Grand Prix racing, every year I've changed the team. So I'm be really hoping to stay here. That's for sure. I mean, more than 1 year, it'd be nice to stay at somewhere.
We'll have a word with Michael.
Thank you.
Have you looked at the forecast for this weekend?
Haven't. Not probably. I lived here for a bit over in Hornstein, and it's no matter what that thing says on the computer. It can be anything. It'll be sunshine 1 minute. It's like Phillip Island almost, you know. It's a I'm hearing a lot of people, you know, everyone's really excited after the other day, and they're all going, I'm a bit nervous actually, because everyone's sort of relying on me. And after the 4,001 bets, you know, 4,001 odds that we had the other day, I'm worried a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money this weekend. Don't bet on me. All right? It's still not a safe bet.
Do you know anyone who did put money on?
No, but all my mates put money on everyone else.
What?
I'm not saying anything about that. Yeah, Petrucci, they put money on him. I said, what about your mate? He goes right in the wet. Oh, you know, don't be silly. He's our good friend, just a dollar. That's all
well,
you had to throw.
They've learned their lesson
your
now.
Your loss. Yeah, yep. 4,001. I heard somebody did. We got a thing that all the boys, all my mates use at home. It's a sports bet app. And somebody did put like a $1 bet down when it was at 4,001 and got like $4,000 back, I think. So it's not bad. Good day for him. Nearly as good as mine.
I think he owes you a beer. If you're allowed one in this new regime.
Yeah, well, I got those Estrella 00s. You can buy one then.
Jack, well, we do wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Hope you know how much people in the paddock. I'm sure you have felt it from the paddock.
No, I felt it a lot. You know, one thing that really felt really special to me was, you know, I've won a couple of races before, but, I mean, just when I got to Parc Fermé and just to see the amount of people that were there, I mean, I've seen it for valet and stuff like that, but I'm not saying it was anything like that, but, you know, just to see a lot of the mechanics from kicking around in the paddock, you know, who I know, you know, and I always say hello to everyone, and just to see them all there to congratulate me and everything like that, even though a lot of them had flights and everything to catch, you know, it just was an amazing feeling. I can't even explain it, and everyone's messages on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that, it's been unreal. I mean, I can't reply to them all because I can't really type anyway, so as I said earlier, I didn't finish school, so go stay in school, kids.
Jack, wish you all the best, and hopefully more wins to come in the future.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, Jack.
How great was that? We'll be back on Thursday, the 11th of August from the Austrian Grand Prix to preview round 10 of the season. We'll see you then. Have a good summer.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.